If you had to describe what's been going on in Europe with the AstraZeneca vaccine in one word, how would you do that?
Oh, one word. Disarray.
You'd be forgiven for asking, what is going on with the AstraZeneca vaccine in Europe?
Because different countries are taking really different approaches.
France, Germany, and Italy have become the latest countries to suspend use of the Oxford AstraZeneca jab over concerns about blood clots.
UK experts are baffled by the European action.
Okay, yeah, disarray is pretty good to describe it. You want to hear my terrible pun one word choice?
Yes.
AstraZeneca catastrophe. Thank you for laughing.
Sure thing.
Hey there, Pulse Check listeners. This is Jeremy Siegel, continuing our special series on the coronavirus pandemic. Today, I'm talking with Sarah Wheaton from Politico's Europe team about, and I promise this is the last time I'll make this joke, the AstraZeneca catastrophe. Here's our conversation.
Austrian authorities are blocking a batch of AstraZeneca CCP virus vaccines. They're investigating the doses as a precaution. After one person died, another was sickened following inoculation.
So basically, Austria suspended a batch of AstraZeneca vaccines after some reports of some unusual blood clotting events. And then a few days later, we saw Denmark basically say, we're going to stop vaccinating with AstraZeneca completely.
So it's clear that I think, in likhed med alle andre, ærger mig.
Some other Nordic countries made similar announcements. And over the following week, you saw more and more European Union countries say, oh, yeah, actually, let's just hit pause.
The authorities in the Republic of Ireland have recommended temporarily suspending the use of the AstraZeneca vaccine while investigations are carried out into four new reports of blood clotting in patients who've received the jab in Norway.
Well, and then on Monday, you saw kind of the big, powerful EU countries, France, Germany, Italy, Spain, all say that they were going to pause vaccinations.
An update on some breaking news. And France, Germany and Italy have now joined the EU countries to suspend the rollout of the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine.
Meanwhile, it's important to say that regulators, whether we're talking about the European Medicine Agency or the World Health Organization, they've said, look, so far, we haven't seen any evidence that these blood clotting events are caused by the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Just because you get a vaccine doesn't mean that you're protected from every other normal thing that can go wrong.
The latest data from the European Medicines Agency shows that out of 5 million AstraZeneca vaccinations given across the continent, there have been 30 reports of people suffering a blood clot soon afterwards. But in a population of that size, you would expect 5,000 people a year to develop blood clots, even without vaccination.
Obviously, cardiovascular problems are pretty common. And the argument from AstraZeneca is that, hey, look, actually, these aren't happening any more than we would predict to happen in kind of under normal circumstances in the general population. And you're also not seeing more issues with these vaccines than with other coronavirus vaccines. So why are you picking on us?
Huh. So, like, let's say instead of vaccines, we were talking about sports drinks here. It's sort of like a situation where some people who buy Gatorade happen to get in car accidents, and then everybody decides you shouldn't buy Gatorade because you're going to get in a car accident. But at the same time, like, people who get other sports drinks are also still getting in car accidents.
So potentially and probably that's what happened. But the EMA and other regulators around the world, including the World Health Organization, are really looking at this closely and trying to figure out what's going on. And the reality is that there have been instances where vaccines do cause problems in a very rare number of cases. But the other thing is, you know, this problem could also be caused by the coronavirus itself. And the argument that many are making, including at the WHO and at the European Medicines Agency, is coronavirus is a serious deadly disease.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking about risk versus benefit, which is the way a lot of drug regulators think, it's still worth the risk that maybe a tiny number of people will have these blood clots in exchange for the benefit of so many more people being protected from an even more dangerous illness.
It's fascinating. So you have what could be a small risk, might not even be a risk associated with the vaccine, but you still have this huge domino effect of countries pausing the shots. I mean, at this point, it sounds like almost most of Europe isn't giving AstraZeneca at this point.
Yeah, it's at least 17 at this point, and that's out of 27 countries. And perhaps even more importantly, that includes some of the biggest, most powerful countries, ones that have their own regulatory system. So a lot of the smaller EU countries really rely on the European Medicines Agency, whereas as countries like France and Germany kind of have the power to make their own decisions. But we've at the same time, we also saw a Spanish official, the Spanish health minister, say that Spain actually has not even seen very many of these cases at all, but sort of because they saw these other countries doing it, they felt pressure to, as a precaution, you hear the word precaution a lot, they felt pressure as a precaution to hit pause.
Wow. It just seems kind of wild to me. Like if the science isn't really there, if there isn't a reason to be scared about this, how does something like this happen? Or why does something like this happen?
I guess I would say there are three big factors that are probably somewhat interrelated to each other. The first one is kind of one of the more deep-seated things, which is that Europe really prides itself on being more deliberative and having more of a cautious regulatory structure in comparison to the United States, in comparison to the United Kingdom. A big factor in Brexit was that in the UK, they said, oh, we can get out from under the precautionary principle. And that's this sort of vaunted idea in Europe that, you know, first do no harm. And so if there's some sort of new technology, new medicine, new pesticide is where this issue often has played out. Even if there's no evidence that that this new thing is going to hurt people, we're going to really make sure, like, we're 100% sure that it's not going to hurt people until we allow it, rather than like allowing it and hoping for the best. And so that's why you're seeing, okay, there's a sign that maybe there might be a problem with this vaccine. We're just going to hit pause and just check everything out and wait and see. Related to that, you have a huge amount of vaccine skepticism in Europe, especially countries like France.
Do we know why that is?
There's a lot of mistrust of big industry. And so you are going to see more vaccine skepticism and hesitancy on the left. We think of it somewhat more as of a right-wing movement in the United States. It's definitely kind of a crunchy anti-corporate movement in Europe.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's why, like, France is really one of the countries that has most defended this precautionary principle idea. It's also very important in France as well as at the European level. And so the thinking from some regulators and some public health people in countries like France is, okay, look, we don't want stories to get out that, you know, if you get a vaccine that there might be a blood clot or a heart attack or something like that. So let's just hit pause so that then we can come back to people and say, hey, trust us, we would not be letting you get this vaccine unless it was definitely 100% safe. On the other hand, other public health people argue, look, like, there's really not a good reason to think that this vaccine is causing these problems. And so by pausing the administration of this vaccine, you're going to do irreparable damage. A poll just did come out the other day showing that only 20% of French people would get the AstraZeneca vaccine. That's probably down from around like 50%. But it'll be really interesting to see if ultimately they do restart this vaccine, if that number does go back up or if it stays really low.
Yeah.
The last factor that I would say is at play here is politics and the politics of Brexit. So we've already seen this with the AstraZeneca vaccine. The UK approved this vaccine much earlier than the EU.
The British Prime Minister is celebrating the approval with this tweet. It is truly fantastic news and a triumph for British science that the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine has been approved for use.
You know, it was originally developed with Oxford University. A lot of it is produced in the UK. So this is really the UK vaccine. The UK is way ahead of the EU on vaccinations in general. And also, this is the vaccine where they have most failed to meet their delivery targets in Europe.
Anger in Brussels after AstraZeneca announced it would be unable to deliver the agreed-upon number of doses.
And everybody in Europe is furious with AstraZeneca already.
The European Union has pre-financed the development of the vaccine and its production and wants to see the return. The European Union wants to know exactly which doses have been produced where by AstraZeneca so far, and if or to whom they have been delivered.
And so we've already seen instances where the European Medicines Agency, when they approved the AstraZeneca vaccine, they said, hey, this is approved for all adults. But many European countries said, oh, we don't like the clinical trial. They didn't test this vaccine in enough older people. And so we're only going to use it for people under 65, under 55.
On Tuesday, France's top health authority recommended the jabs for people under the age of 65.
Manque de données.
And it took them a long time to finally agree to use it in older people. Mm-hmm. And so this isn't the first time that we've seen European countries express mistrust of the AstraZeneca vaccine and sort of present their approach as being in contrast to the way the UK is using it.
That's fascinating. So you might have a situation where, like, anger over AstraZeneca, even anger over the UK and Brexit is boiling over in the form of countries not administering shots in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, of course, any politician would deny that there's any political motivation behind these policy-making decisions.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you can't deny that at least that's the undertone of all this.
Wow. How significant is this pause? Like, what does it mean if for several weeks you have some countries not vaccinating people with AstraZeneca? I mean, I know it's like just one of, you know, several vaccines that are in existence right now, but what does this pause mean for Europe's overall vaccination efforts and just like its general coronavirus situation?
So that's a hard question to answer because we don't know how many doses of this vaccine European countries actually have. We don't know how many they've ordered. AstraZeneca, you know, has been having all these delivery problems. And we also know that a lot of European countries haven't actually done a good job of putting shots in arms, even when they have them in stock. So, you know, for some of these countries, it's actually very possible that this pause won't actually, you know, they wouldn't have any shots to give. You know, I don't actually know. And that is a really important point to make. And that might be one of the reasons that there's very little hesitation to do this pause because they are not actually giving that many of these shots anyway. I don't know. But that is why this question of what the long-term impact on vaccine confidence will be with this vaccine.
What's next here? Like, how do individual countries or the EU itself, how do they prevent something like this from happening again or further hurting Europe's response to the pandemic and its vaccination efforts?
On one level, you could argue that this is sort of what's supposed to happen, that when you create a new vaccine and you put it out into the world, we have these systems set up to monitor and, you know, notice when bad things are potentially happening. And then we look to regulators and experts to help us decide how to proceed. So you could argue that really the problem here is not that there has been an alert about a potential issue and that people are sort of proceeding cautiously. I think potentially the bigger issue for sort of Europe as a whole is that the European Medicines Agency has so far said that they think, you know, there's no kind of scientific or medical reason for countries to be pausing these vaccinations. And so the fact that we have countries making unilateral decisions or maybe making decisions based on what their neighbor did as opposed to, you know, their own domestic situation, that creates this perception that there's, you know, politics behind decisions as opposed to science or medicine behind decisions. And so there may well be, and I think that this is something that already came up with the earlier kind of age issue with AstraZeneca is, you know, are countries going to go along with what the European Medicines Agency says, or are they going to continue to kind of freelance? And I would almost sort of be surprised if EU countries necessarily behave differently in the future because, and this is always the issue with any health-related thing for the European Union, like ultimately you're like politicians from Europe are accountable to the people in their home countries and people in their home countries are not voting based on like how well their capitals followed the rules that Brussels set out. And so you're always going to see political leaders make decisions based on their base, which is, you know, certainly a story in the United States as well. And you see it happening in other vaccine situations. Like a lot of countries, especially in Central and Eastern Europe, have expressed more openness to the Chinese and Russian vaccines, whereas the Western European countries that were able to afford more of the like mRNA vaccines, they are less interested in that. And, you know, politicians are accountable to their own voters.
All right, that is our show for this week. I'm Jeremy Siegel, and big thanks to Politico Europe's Sarah Wheaton for talking with me. To stay up on the latest on the pandemic, sign up for Politico's daily health newsletter, Politico Pulse, and also be sure to subscribe to Pulse Check, if you haven't yet, wherever you get your podcasts. Pulse Check's senior producer is Jenny Ament, and our executive producer is Irene Noguchi. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.